From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the fourth day of September 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll take a look at the agricultural energies in an in-depth way. We'll talk about ethanol production and stocks. And then we'll take a look at gasoline supplies, too. That with first Dan O'Brien of K-State University out of Heston, Kansas, and then Harry Cooney of GrowMark from right here in Illinois. And then as we wrap up our time together, we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, to talk about what's happened in Chicago. Thanks so much, Wayne, for being with us for the day.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it's been a week since I've really taken a look at the marketplace. Can you recap what we went through for the last several days and then what took place today after the Labor Day weekend?
Well, you know, we were going down into the end of the month, and on Friday after the first deliveries, well, we bounced back fairly strong in the corn and the beans, and you know, basically we got most of the DP grain priced on, and when that was done, why, then we come back and looked a little bit at the threatening weather forecast of the heat coming back in here, and the idea that Russia was not going to be exporting at full strength going along was along on Friday also. And then, of course, yesterday, then the Russians sort of changed their mind and said they aren't putting any limits on things yet. So that's where the wheat was holding down the corn and the wheat market down today. So
it's been led over the last several days, or at least a couple of trading sessions, by wheat and what's been happening in Russia. They have had very dry conditions, as we've talked about, most of the growing season for them. And since they're in the Northern Hemisphere, it's this particular season. Though now it's just a political policy note and could change, I suppose, at any moment again. At this time, they're saying, yeah, we're going to go ahead and put wheat on the marketplace.
Yeah, you know, they suggest they did not need to impose any export duties or limit wheat exports now, and that's triggered the selling today. You know, last week the funds bought on talk that they were going to signal limit to exports. They still feel that later in the year Russians are going to probably limit that just for their own political at home, because it could cause a lot of unrest if the people feel there isn't enough food left for them.
How did the marketplace take going into the Labor Day weekend, not knowing what the North American Free Trade Agreement might look like by the end of September? Of course, the Trump administration says and has signed a deal, I think, with Mexico, and told Congress we're going to do NAFTA and maybe with Canada. How did the trade take that, and what are your expectations?
Well, I think that basically everybody had pretty good hopes through the trading day on Friday that something was going to be resolved rather quickly with Canada. Of course, this morning we saw Prime Minister Trudeau saying that he won't sign a deal for Canada unless it's good for Canada, and we probably went into it a little Armstrong as to what we should that way. But the feelings are that in the next 2 weeks there will be something signed with Canada and Mexico to put together. It's going to be a lot easier to get through Congress to approve and everything than if we have to start over with, instead of just renewing NAFTA. So I think we're very close. You know, Mexico, we achieved the agreement, and I think that we're closer than a lot of people want to act like there could be here right now with Canada. So I think that's going to be a done deal here by the middle of the month.
And there is a lot of pressure now on the Trump administration to get this one done, mostly because if we get very much further, if we get to the end of September, and the reason they signed off sending to Congress, I believe, was that they need the 60 days. Congress will have to take a look at the agreement. That'll be before the midterm elections and before the new president takes his office in Mexico, too. So they're up against some real hard deadlines at this point. I think that end of the month of September is one that they'll have to look forward to and work hard to get done. I suspect both Canada's looking at it, wondering what they can get out of the deal. So we'll find all of those things out in the next couple of weeks. What else have you been watching, if anything?
Well, I think that there's some concern of the excessive rain that's coming through Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin. and through parts of Illinois, and that coming up, they could have 200 to 800% of their normal rainfall there over the next week. That could limit or slow down harvest for sure, and also could hurt the beans a little bit as far as that goes, Todd. So, you know, the other thing that's been really upsetting was the top Chinese crusher said it looks like we're only going to import 700,000 tons of U.S. beans this year, and their total imports are going to be down to 84.67 million metric tons, and 71 million of that coming out of Brazil. So that, you know, they also made a comment they might be beans in February and March and might have to buy a few, but boy, that just isn't very meaning for the number we produce and everything along the way that way. So, you know, and we're about, we look now in the FOB price or delivered China, basically we're about 50 cents with the tariff included. We're about 50 cents over Brazil right now as far as the bean price goes. So, you know, it's close, but we'd sure like to see an agreement with China that would say that they would buy a few more beans from us and include that in the part of the deal, like was there in the original offer.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us. We'll talk with you again next week.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, a couple of ethanol groups in the United States have sued both the Environmental Protection Agency and Energy Secretary Rick Perry. The focus of the suit is dozens of hardship waivers granted to oil refineries that allowed them not to blend ethanol into the fuel supply. Growth Energy and the Renewable Fuels Association filed the suit to get access to records that detail how the decisions to grant the waivers were made, exempting some of the refineries from the renewable fuel standard. The ethanol industry said the waivers were granted in secret without the knowledge of stakeholders and left billions of gallons of ethanol out of the nation's fuel supply. The ethanol industry, farm groups, and others are suing the EPA separately for issuing the waivers, which they say is illegal under the law. The lawsuit targets Rick Perry because the EPA must consult with the Energy Department to grant a refinery waiver under the RFS. EPA should come clean and provide the public with what it deserves, says Growth Energy CEO Emily Score. That's a full accounting of the stark increase in the number of small refinery exemptions it has granted in recent years. Let's stay with ethanol. A leading Senate advocate for the year-round sale of 15% ethanol-blended gasoline, or E15 rather than E10, says it's time for the White House to finally act. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says it's time for the president and EPA chief to stop trying to please oil refiners with a trade-off for year-round E15 use and just make good on a campaign promise to back ethanol.
This administration needs to make a quick decision that instead of looking around for some sort of a compromise that you can have a win-win for refineries and for corn and ethanol, that you just simply come to the conclusion that the refineries have everything they've wanted, and just since they've got what they set out to do a year ago, just go ahead and do what the administration said they want to do for corn and ethanol and announce E15 12 months out of the year.
USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue says President Trump directed him to meet this week with EPA Chief Andrew Wheeler and work out a deal Trump can announce. That amid a tough election fight for the control of the House and Senate. Perdue says Trump called him during the Farm Progress Show in Iowa and said, let's get it done. By the way, we'll have more about E15 and the buildup of ethanol stocks in just a bit, right here on the Closing Market Report when we talk about the agricultural energies with Dan O'Brien. He's at K-State University. And finally today, let's move overseas. China has suspended transportation of live hogs from provinces infected with African swine fever. This according to Reuters. The Chinese ag minister will also shut down all live hog markets in the affected provinces. Pork is a staple meat in China, which has reported 5 cases of swine fever in 5 different provinces over the past month. The outbreak is prompting Chinese authorities to cull hogs at farms in an effort to contain the outbreak. The Chinese Ag Ministry released a statement on its website that said the prevention and containment of African swine fever is proving to be complicated and serious. The Agriculture and Rural Affairs Minister is asking local authorities in different provinces to do everything they can to ensure safe production at animal farms in their provinces and to secure the country's meat supply. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. On this Tuesday afternoon, we're now joined by Dan O'Brien. He's at K-State University in Heston, Kansas, an agricultural economist, to talk about ethanol, its production, and agricultural energies in general. Hey, thanks so much, Dan, for being with us today.
Yes.
So I want to talk about stocks and ethanol production in the United States. Every month or so, you take a look at this in depth. We've been talking a long time about production, and it just has been tremendous this year. But I don't know what that's meant to the buildup of stocks. Can you tell me some more?
Yes, we've had relatively low corn prices and at least moderate profitability in ethanol production. So you put those two together, and again, given that we haven't had periods of 10, 20 cents per gallon of loss, we've just kept producing, and in the through our plants. So with that, as we've kept going forward on the production side, we've tended to build up our stocks. So here we have this dichotomy going on between RBOB prices being relatively healthy and moving to the higher side, if anything, and ethanol prices, because of really a stocks buildup, primarily moving to the lower side of things. So the last numbers that we've got right at the end of August, you look at ethanol versus RBOB futures, and you have ethanol prices at $1.32. And RBOB prices, the national numbers at 203, so 65%. There have been times when we've been closer to 80, 90% on that ratio, or even 70. Well, this 65% is the lowest number we've seen for a good while. It was near that low in July, but again, even lower now. So it is as it is. Profitability in the plants, it looks like by our calculations, and again, we're using some models out of Iowa State University, developed initially by Bob Wisner and company there, and it looks like for August, by our estimates, we're just below break even, losing at 1 or 2 cents per gallon. The cost of production about $1.35 a gallon. Price for sales of ethanol about $1.33. We have had a little bit of strength here of late in distillers grains. So without some recovery in distillers grains, this 1 cent loss would be, well, what would it be? Five 10 cents loss. So, anyway, it really is an industry that's operating on the margin, and you've got the input of corn, the outflow of ethanol and DDGs, and you mix all those together, and by the time it shakes out for what it seems to have done in August, we're basically a break even to just down a little bit. And with that, you keep going. If you see in times past when we've seen prolonged losses of again 10, 15, 25 cents a gallon, then plants that aren't operating as efficiently probably slow down or at least temporarily stop, and then the industry adjusts. But so far, we haven't gotten to the place where those signals are coming yet.
Can we just continue to build stocks?
I think somewhere out there you get a tipping point at the place where you have such a run-up of stocks that you overburden the market and prices go lower. Of course, what are we talking about now in national ag policy realms? Well, talking about E15, moving up to higher percentage blends and plants. And if that happens, these stocks actually probably would be somewhat well positioned, at least for the initial move towards that. And it would take time to gear up, of course. So maybe the answer to your question, if we stay at E10 in terms of 10% blends of ethanol into gasoline, with again coming in with RBOB, well, we'd be challenged to not see ethanol prices move lower. But if we do see E15 come in, then that may be kind of a saving grace, I guess, in this, and allow that industry to move forward and to at least hold steady, if not whittle down the stocks, and perhaps see the ethanol price move just a bit higher.
Two divergent pathways. One, the path that we're on currently, where stocks would continue to build until we get to a tipping point, or ethanol plants just begin to really operate at a loss and they shut down for whatever reason temporarily, but that would slow grind down substantially. Or E15 as a policy comes in and we begin to chew through those extra stocks that are on hand, and ethanol plants have made a good bet, I suppose, as it relates to building stocks up.
Yeah, DDGs are involved in this, but it's corn price, ethanol price. What are the trends in those? And with low corn prices, we've been able to maintain profitability, or at least get near it, with just so-so ethanol prices. But something would come in, we get surprised, the corn market moved to the higher side, then our carefully crafted equilibrium would be shaken, and then we'd just have to see where things would go from there.
We will check in 1 month from today to see where things have gone. Thanks so much, Dan.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
Hey, Dan O'Brien is with K-State University. Talked to us a little bit about ethanol and U.S. agricultural production and stocks of that agricultural energy. Along now with us to take up some of the other parts of the energy sector, including what's happening in the diesel industry and with propane, is Harry Cooney. He is with Growmark out of Bloomington. Good afternoon to you, Harry. Thanks for being with us.
Well, you're welcome. On a beautiful, warm, as you said, warm Tuesday afternoon. Kind of feels like a little bit like a Monday, but getting into the Tuesday here.
Let's start with the hurricane season.
Sure.
And the impact that it can have on the supplies, available supplies of diesel and gasoline.
Yeah, well, in fact, a year ago now, we did the same thing as almost we're doing here now. Right at the end of August or early September, had a hurricane come into the Gulf Coast. And last year, I think it made much more of a disruption in the refinery processing. This year, the storm coming in down there over the next day or two looks like it'll be somewhat subdued. However, even these small hurricanes can make large amounts of rainfall and can cause some problems around the refineries in the Gulf Coast. Early today, the market shot up quite a bit, meaning quite a bit, maybe 5-6 cents in the gasoline and diesel fuel markets. However, here at the end of the day, traders really saw that the dollar was rallying, and maybe we won't have quite as much damage along that Gulf Coast as what had been feared this morning. So the markets backed off and ended about unchanged here today. Crude oil actually ended lower on the day. So on the price charts, it actually made what they call a little bit of a reversal to the downside.
Because we have been awfully high in the crude oil, at least at recent highs. What are the seasonals for energies at this time of year?
Well, the seasonals, interesting. Seasonals patterns actually start peaking out here right around the last week of August or the first week in September. So whether this was really the peak for the period right in here now or not remains to be seen. But this type of action where you go sharply higher early in the day and come back and close unchanged or lower sure gives us reminiscence ideas that maybe we could be trying to put that little seasonal peak in that, like I say, normally occurs at this time of the year.
I made note in the notes that you sent me for our discussion today that diesel stocks are fairly tight. How's demand?
Oh, demand is running pretty good. The over-the-road trucking industry accounts for like 65 to 70% of the U.S. diesel fuel demand. Those numbers are still running strong. We get a report each month from the American Trucking Association. Those numbers are running strong. Of course, we know here in the Midwest, ag demand is ready to pick up in here. Rail demand has also been pretty good. Ag demand is only about 8% of the total U.S. Same way with rail demand, about 6 to 8%. But the over-the-road trucking industry is still running pretty good, as with the economy running strong.
We have 28 seconds left. Do we have adequate propane stocks going into harvest?
Very adequate stocks going into harvest. We are lower than what we've been in the past couple or 3 years, but we have very adequate stocks of propane to get us through the fall season and even through the winter. There's enough stocks out there. We'll get through the winter in just real good shape in propane.
Hey, thanks so much, Harry.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with Growmark, back with the weather in 2 minutes. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. We're now joined by Don Day from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to take a look at the weather forecast. Let's stick primarily with the Midwest. During the growing season, we always watch rainfall and worry about drought, Don. And then as we get to the end of the season, we'd like it to stay a little drier and worry a lot less about the rainfall, but it looks like Mother Nature has had something else in mind for at least a large part of the Corn Belt. What's been happening?
Yeah, we've had some very wet weather. Certainly, we've really had nothing close to a widespread drought at all this summer in many areas. It is going to be wet, staying wet, in some of the areas that have gotten a lot of rain recently. Central and eastern Nebraska, the southern portions of Wisconsin and Minnesota, many areas of Iowa, portions of northern Illinois. Some of those areas, especially Wisconsin, have seen rainfall amounts of over 10 inches or more in some areas over the last week or two. We had college football games canceled because of rain and thunderstorms over the weekend in the Midwest. We're going to see the pattern that's been responsible for that, a flow of moisture out of the southern plains and the desert southwest, continue for another week or so. So we're still expecting it to be wet in those areas I just mentioned. And even getting into the central and eastern areas of the Corn Belt, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, getting into the act. So certainly maybe a little more wet than a lot of folks would like to see this time of year.
Yeah, so that would be from the westerlies, though the Atlantic does tend to spawn tropical storms about this time of the year. Looks like we're watching one of those that might come through as well. Do you have a route that it may go through, and do you expect it to hit any place in the Midwest?
Well, right now it looks like Gordon is going to come in as a low-end Category 1 hurricane or a high-end tropical storm. Going and probably coming in right on the coast where the Alabama border meets there along the Gulf Coast. As it comes inland, there will be heavy rain spreading northwestward. Then we'll get curved into the eastern areas of the Corn Belt later on this week. We do think it's going to move along the remnants of it fairly quickly, and hopefully that will keep us from flooding, but the eastern Corn Belt is going to get wet from it. We've got other activity out in the Atlantic. We've got Florence, which is right now predicted to curve away from the East Coast as it moves west. But there are still some computer models that suggest it could sneak a little more westerly. And so the verdict is not out on Florence just yet. But after a very quiet tropical season so far, it looks like over the next 3 weeks, we're going to have quite a bit to talk about in the tropics, in the Atlantic and the Caribbean and maybe the Gulf.
And we are, what, about halfway through the hurricane season now?
Yeah, we are. I mean, we've gone through the first half of it with all of the action out in the Pacific with lots of typhoon activity. But the Atlantic, up until now, has been cool. It hasn't been favorable for tropical storm formation, but for the next 3 weeks, it will be. After that, it may quiet down into October. But over the next several weeks, you're going to be hearing about tropical activity in the news for sure.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He is with Day Weather. Out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.